Hello and welcome to the Man Panel. Woohoo! So excited that you're here because I have the privilege and opportunity of featuring the expertise of amazing men who are here to share deep wisdom with you to help you have better relationships and really just enjoy life more. And so today I'm super excited because I have my dear friend and wonderful colleague, the amazing PJ Dixon with me. Welcome, PJ.
Woo-hoo! Super glad to be here. I love that I am the amazing PJ. Hello, my beautiful friends. Super glad to be here.
Well, and PJ and I were talking before we got started here, and another nickname for PJ is LLPJ. And so PJ taught me that the artist, his name is what? LL Cool J.
LL Cool J is a rapper.
I wasn't going to quite get that right. LL Cool J, that stands for Ladies Love. And cool so J, we've, so we've decided that PJ's nickname is LLPJ for the Ladies Love PJ, because the ladies do love you, PJ, and they wanted you back.
And I'm super glad to be back. It's always an honor when the ladies who watch this, vote, and I'm one of the people that they seem to like a lot, and I'm very honored by that. I want to give everything that I can because I really genuinely love women, and I love femininity, and I want women to be worshipped and lifted up and appreciated and valued, and so I want to always give everything that I possibly can.
Yeah, that's so beautiful, PJ, and you know what? That comes through. That's one of the things that I have felt and loved about you ever since you and I crossed paths a few years ago, was that you really speak from the heart and you have a deep breadth of wisdom to share from. And also your love of women and your advocacy for women really comes across in the things that you share and teach. And so that's so empowering and beautiful. And we just really appreciate it. So before you've even really had a chance to share anything today, we want to thank you up front for that.
Well, thank you for the opportunity. It's my pleasure.
And so you can all tell I'm a big fan of PJ. And I just want to give a little bit of detail about PJ, because he has an amazing, amazing background. And I think that's really where a lot of your deep wisdom and experience comes from, PJ, that you have to share. PJ is an international speaker and coach who focuses on results. Yay, we like results. Despite his disability, which was expected to take his life by age 7, he chose to live and to live well. And that's another thing I love about you, PJ, is that that's what I think you not only teach, but you really embody. And that, you know, the example that you share for all of us by doing that is really inspiring. So
that's
PJ,
I want to make sure that the way I live is inspiring to other people.
Yeah. Yeah, because when you really embody that, there's so much more power that comes through when you speak.
Yeah.
PJ truly lives an extraordinary life, sailing, outdoor skydiving, indoor skydiving, trapezing, ziplining, hiking, mountain climbing, snow skiing, water skiing, aqua jetpacking, and the list goes on. I mean, wow, like, you know, it's amazing you get to do those things and that you have done those things.
Yes.
He's a former wheelchair athlete, international traveler, amateur watercolorist, founder of 2 nonprofit organizations and 4 disabled sports programs, a published author, 10th degree black belt, martial arts and women's self-defense instructor, and a meditation teacher. That's a lot to get out.
Sorry.
No, it's okay. It's awesome. It's amazing. Additionally, PJ has been inducted into the National Hall of Fame for People with Disabilities, awarded the Distinguished Gold Dragon Medal from the, you'll have to say this,
Bujinkan
International Dojo, recognized with the Extremely Rare Communication and Leadership Award from Toastmasters International, and was nominated to carry the Olympic torch through Tucson in 2002. And PJ, as I've already mentioned, genuinely cares about his clients and his audiences. So what that means for all of us here is that we're in very good hands. And you know what, PJ, I haven't even been reading most people's bios for this event, but I think your bio is so amazing and your background is so amazing. I wanted to share it with people.
Oh, thank you. I'm really honored by that. It's exciting to hear my bio and sometimes humbling. Sometimes I'm like, ooh, okay, yeah, I've done that. You know, but it's also like, if I don't humble myself, not in an arrogant way, but if I don't like make myself small and I say, yeah, I've had a good life. And it like empowers me from the inside out to think, ooh, what's next, right? What else do I get to do? How many more times can I do that? You know, so I look at life in a way where I want to drink it in. I want to go out and explore it. And that's actually a lot of what I want to talk about today with the ladies, because so often when we're in a position where we want the attention of a partner, a romantic partner, it's always what we want, right? We want to be in a relationship because we want them to love us up and nurture us and hug us and fill us up. But instead, what if we do this sort of a counterintuitive approach? What if we fill ourselves up and become something amazing? And then that amazingness attracts the right kind of people.
Mm. Yeah, so beautiful, so beautiful. And I love that we're going to talk about this counterintuitive approach to finding love, attracting love, however you want to say it, because I really think that this is a really important thing to focus on. I think especially coming through this COVID period and things like that, I also think that people are kind of rediscovering what is possible in life, or maybe finding new appreciation for some of the things we took for granted. And this idea of filling yourself up so that you're inviting someone in from that place of abundance is so beautiful and so powerful. So we can't wait to see what you have to say about this.
Well, let me say this, just because you use the word abundance, and it seems to be such a big keyword, especially among women, right? The universe is abundant. We can just all agree on that. It's an abundance amount of energy. It's inexhaustible as far as human beings could conceive. And so the universe is constantly pouring abundance into each one of us. The question is, what is it pouring into? And most of the time, it's pouring into a mold or a shape of lack, scarcity, fear, loneliness, unworthy, not being good enough. So the more we believe that, the more abundance just pours. Abundance is innocent. Abundance is, it's like a stem cell. It's undesignated yet. It's just abundance. And it's freely given to each one of us. And so it can come through us. That energy force can come through us and it will give us anything that we want, provided that you are in the right shape. And by the right shape, if you think about the old Play-Doh fun factory, right? You put some Play-Doh in this little box and you push down on this lever, and the lever would then squeeze the Play-Doh and then squeeze the Play-Doh out this hole in the front of it. But if you didn't put any kind of shape in front of it, it would just come out as this big round blob. But if you put a shape in front of it, like stars or spaghetti or a triangle, it would come out in those shapes. And so what people fail to realize is that they're living just sort of in reaction to whatever emotion is going on inside of them, instead of saying, oh, this is how I want to feel, and this is the way I want to be, and this is the way I want to express myself. And then the universe will pour in abundance through that mold or that shape. But if we have that shape of I'm not worthy, I'm not good enough, there's not a man that's going to love me because of all of these problems, that becomes the abundance of what you get also. Abundance, again, is just like a stem cell. It's undesignated. And it literally will become whatever we shape it into.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a very good way of saying it. It's a really good analogy. So a couple of things coming up here for me, PJ, that I want to ask you about, because I want to get your opinion and your thoughts on this. The first thing is, sometimes these feelings or these beliefs of unworthiness, or we don't believe we're fully lovable, or if someone knew us fully and knew the challenges we faced or whatever, that we might not be acceptable or we might not be lovable. Sometimes those things are operating more kind of underneath the surface, more than we're actually even aware of. Yes. So that's my first question, is what do we do about that? Let's talk about that first, and then I have another thing I want to ask you about.
Beautiful. So actually, this is right in my wheelhouse. I love this. So what we're really talking about is the distinction between the conscious mind, what I'm aware of, and the unconscious mind, those things that are operating and niggling at us from underneath the surface and like pulling us down like an anchor, or holding us down like somebody, you know, sitting on our chest. And so what's in between is the subconscious mind. And so when we sit quietly, if you really want to know what might be holding us back, and you're like, I don't know what's wrong, I don't know where these things are, but something is keeping me from being fully who I am, when you sit in, it doesn't even have to be quiet meditation, quote unquote, but if you can sit in sort of a quiet contemplation and just sit and listen to your own body and listen to your own mind, maybe even ask a question like, why are we feeling so isolated, right? And we just listen, and what will start to percolate will be information from the unconscious mind. And we'll start to get a feeling like, hold on, I don't know what it is, but I feel something coming. And the thing that I feel coming is the subconscious mind, it's bridging the unconscious to the conscious. And so as long as we listen, the bridge will get built. And then all of a sudden, the subconscious mind will open up and reveal to the conscious mind why we're bothered, why we're holding ourselves back, why we think that we're small, why these things are arising in our life, right? And it gives us the wisdom to then to work with those things and to change those things. And so just sitting and listening, and if that doesn't work for you, journal, ask yourself a question, and then let yourself answer the question. So when I say ask yourself a question, let me be more specific. Let the conscious you ask your unconscious a question, and then whatever comes up, just write it. Let the unconscious mind have a voice. I do this in the mirror more than I journal it, because it's just easier for me. And also when I journal, I fall asleep for whatever reason. And so if I do it in the mirror, I'll get really close. Like I'll get 3 or 4 inches away from the mirror, because I don't want to be distracted by what's behind me. I want to be right in front of the mirror. And I just simply ask myself, why are we upset? Why are we sad? Why are we feeling lonely? What's bothering us? Notice the we and the us coming up. Why? Because I, the conscious me, is connecting with my unconscious and letting it be a we and us kind of thing. So it's a collaboration. The unconscious mind will reveal what's bothering it. And then the conscious mind's job is to then resolve the issue. So the unconscious mind's job is to reveal, and the conscious mind's job is to resolve. And the unconscious mind just wants to be the best friend of the conscious mind. And the moment you, the conscious you, gives your unconscious mind a voice, it will share what's in it. It'll tell you what's bothering it. It may not give you everything, but it'll give you little bit by little bit by little bit by little bit. And it reveals delicious stuff, even though the delicious stuff might be a little hurtful or painful or scary or stuff you don't want to look at anymore. It's giving you the things that it goes, hey, I know you want to be in a relationship. So the first things we got to cover are these things that are percolating first. Let's get through these things. Once we get through these things, then we'll have a greater opportunity and more openness to receive the love from somebody else and to give love freely and untainted. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Beautiful. And do you find, PJ, that most of these things that get in our way are based in fear? Are they typically fear-based things? Yeah.
Yeah. And look, everything starts with being programmed. We come out of the womb, blank slates, empty canvases, and the world writes on us. Moms and dads write on us. Brothers and sisters write on us. Society writes on us. Teachers and jobs and neighbors and television shows and media, everything writes on us and shows us how, like programs us how to believe and how to think. But if we go back and we go, hold on, like, where did this come from? Why am I thinking so poorly of myself? We think back, journal back on it, just sit in quiet contemplation or quiet meditation, whatever bubbles up. We go, oh, my dad said this, my mom said this, my brother said that. I saw this thing on TV and I immediately believed it, right? So once we go back to the program, we have to go back past the emotion, past the thinking, past the beliefs, and then we identify the program. And when we identify the program, we go, okay, well, is that the program that I want to be in me, right? If we look at a computer, we can have Microsoft Word, or we can have, what was it called? Like WordPerfect, I think, way back in the day. Right? And maybe WordPerfect is what we got programmed with. And it works okay, but it doesn't work like in connection with everybody else. So we go back and we uninstall and we reinstall Microsoft Word, something new. So it's the same emotionally. We go back and we go, wow, this is what I was told. This is what I was led to believe. But is that true? Is that the way I want to believe? No, I want to believe like this. Okay. Well, what program can I reinstall? And I always give my clients, I say, well, this is the one you currently have. Now create a better version. And they create a better version. Like, for example, let's say their dad said something to them that made them feel small, and right, that they always had to be in service to men instead of a partnering with, right? And being equal to. And so we make a slightly better version. then we make a second better version, then make a third better version, as if Dad said A, B, and C, and then D is the delicious version. A was the one that didn't feel good, and then B, C, and D get progressively better. And you go, well, if he'd said D to me or done this for me in this way, wow, that would have been so much better. Okay, then how would you believe, right? If that were the case, well, I'd believe this. Okay. And then if you believe like that, because this is the way Dad programmed you, right? Intentionally, directly, or indirectly, this was the programming, and now you believe this. Well, how would you think? And they go, well, I think like this. And then we go, well, if this is how you thought, how would you feel? Well, I'd feel like this. And then everything else takes care of itself. And so sometimes we want to go back to the original programming. Not always, but sometimes it helps. Mm-hmm. Did that answer your question? Because yeah. It comes from fear, right? Like, oh, I'm not going to be accepted in the group. Oh, if I don't do this, my dad's not going to love me. Oh, if I don't do this, my former husband is not going to treat me respectfully. So we give up who we are. See what happens. Sorry, let me just say this one thing because I get so excited. Okay. What happens with fear is that somebody challenged your identity. And then we go, oh no, maybe that's true. And we become afraid, or we become angry or upset, or we become resistant. So when somebody challenges your identity and makes you feel bad, right, then what we usually do is we then compromise our integrity. We often act in a way that we don't want to act. We get angry, we get upset, we cry, we get frustrated, we shut down, we get quiet, and we resent that because that's not who we really are. You might be a quiet person and that's okay, but if you're just quiet, that's different than quiet and resentful, mm-hmm. right? And so if we compromise our integrity, now we're hurting ourselves. They hurt us by challenging our identity, by saying that we were something we weren't, right? And causing us to believe or possibly believe something that's not true. But instead, what we want is, instead of compromising our integrity, when somebody challenges it and says something that makes us feel bad, or we believe what they said, we then get to say, hold on, let me wash that away. And instead of compromising my integrity, let me say, no, hold on. This is the real truth, and move forward with the real truth, because that's reprogramming yourself.
Mm-hmm. And PJ, do you go from like what Dad said to kind of the good, better, best version of that? Is that because taking it in steps helps our minds to reprogram? Is that why you suggest taking it in steps like that?
Yeah, 100%. In addition, it's like, okay, well, what could he have said, right? Like what slightly could he have said or done differently, but just a little bit differently? So the mind goes, oh yeah, he could have done that, but he didn't. Okay, so from there, if he had done that, so right? So now we step from A to B. If he had done this, what could he have done like even better than that? Now we step from B to C. And wow, if he had done this, man, how would it have been perfect? We step from D, from C to D, we go, this would have been amazing. And then once we go, yeah, this would have been amazing, that's when we go, okay, if Dad had done that, how would you believe, right? And they go, oh, I believe like this. How would you think? How would you think these thoughts? And then what do you think those thoughts would, how would that emotion then evolve beyond that? Oh, I'd feel like this about myself. Okay. So now think about the way Dad treated you in D, and let C, B, and A just start to dissipate, and only remember D, only believe D, right? Mm. It's a way of tricking the mind a little bit, anyone could argue, yeah, but that's not true, that's not reality. Well, if that's the case, let's wrestle for our chains. What that means is, you know, slaves sometimes argue not to be unbound. No, don't untie me, because then I have to be free. You get to be free. And when you're free, you're more likely to have a healthy, happy relationship.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah, and you get to have the experience of being more authentic, more vulnerable, more real when you interact, because you don't have so many walls or guards up that don't even let people see you, which also is a part of inviting in the right person.
Yes, and because that's what we want from them, right? That's what they want from you. We want this level of authenticity. We want this level of intimacy. We want this level of I can be completely true with who I am, and I know you're not going to run. You're going to hold this space for me and with me. And this is when the minds, the bodies, the hearts, and the souls, and the beingness starts to mold and blend together, and it creates one unit. So it's this idea of two-ness becoming one, my definition of love is the willing exchange of oneself. And if I'm thinking oneself, I'm also thinking about somebody else. So that means there's two or more. So it's the willing exchange of oneself for oneness. Think about when you love someone, when you actually are loving them, not loving them and yearning for their love back, but loving them, the sense of who you are washes away and there's only the love. It's only the unity. It's only the oneness. And that comes through the level of trust and intimacy and openness and connection and courage. And it's delicious. It's the best. It's the best.
Well, beautiful. Can you say that one more time? Your definition of love is?
The willing exchange of oneself for oneness.
Okay, beautiful.
Meaning, in short, letting go of my own ego and what I'm not getting and what I want and what I expect. Letting that go and just saying, no, I'm actually, if I really love you, I'm going to pour into you and give to you. When I pour into you and give to you, this idea of me being separate from you washes away, because if I'm pouring in love, I just become love. When I become love, everything else washes away. Even right now, as I'm speaking to you and my voice is getting softer, this idea and sense of my physical parameters starts to get real blurry in my mind. And I start to feel this softness in my heart that radiates through my body, through my brain, through my face, through my neck, through my back, through my chest, through my arms. And the physical being, starts to get real blurry in my mind in exchange for that sense of love, that sense of softness. And when it becomes blurry, it makes it easier to join with others. So it's the willing exchange of oneself, one's ego, for oneness, that connection.
So beautiful, PJ.
Thanks.
One of the reasons I always love talking to you so much, because you say such beautiful and interesting things.
Thank you.
So I want to go in a little different direction, and bear with me because I'm going to give a little introduction to this next question I want to ask you, but I think it's really important.
Okay.
Goes along with what we're talking about here. So I was having a conversation with another gentleman that I am interviewing for the MAN panel a few days ago, and we were talking about growing our businesses and putting ourselves out there, and how that sometimes can feel vulnerable, or that can sometimes feel scary, you know, like putting a video out on YouTube or something like that, for example. That can sometimes feel scary to me because I am more of an introverted personality, and it feels, because the things I talk about are so important to me and so personal in so many ways, I have such strong feelings about it, that it sometimes feels scary to just kind of put it out there to the big broad world where there are people that might write mean comments or give a thumbs down or whatever, right? Most people don't, but it's those few sometimes that capture my attention. So I was sharing a little bit about my fear about this. And he said something to me that I thought was really powerful, and I think it goes along with this theme. He said, you will be received in the way that you're ready to be received. So then, to take that one step further, I think we will receive in the way we're ready to receive.
100%. Keep going.
Yeah. So my big question for you, PJ, is how do we expand that capacity to receive? Besides, you know, getting rid of the mind chatter or the limiting beliefs or the programming that we got that's still with us, how else do we expand that capacity to receive? Because the people listening, if you don't have what you want in your life, it could be in part because you haven't built that capacity to receive, kind of like the Play-Doh thing you were talking about earlier on. We've only got room for this kind of shape, so it's going to get squished into this kind of shape. And if something bigger, better comes along, we're maybe not going to have the comfort level to receive it. It's like trying to pour a gallon of water into a one cup container. There's no place for it to go. So I really want to like say, how do we expand this so that we have this spacious ability to receive? Did that all come together in a way that like made sense as a question?
Absolutely, it does. Absolutely, it does. And it's actually a really beautiful question. And so it's sort of it's a two-part answer, okay? And the first is we release the limited identity. We change our identity. We wash clean all the stickiness of judgment from ourselves and judgment and opinions from ourselves about ourselves and from others about us, or from just the general media and general populace, the general public, about women in general. Okay. So we wash clean of those. And what we do is we step into the real truth of who we are, the real truth of who we want to be. So my free gift, I'm going to jump in and just say it real quick. It's a, 109 page ebook called 5 Ways to Date Yourself and 1 Big Reason Why You Should. And what it does is it allows you to really explore who you are. And when you explore who you are, what happens then is you go, oh, wait, this is who I am. And that's when you are open to receive, because, you know, pottery, when you put clay on a potter's wheel, right? And we wet our hands, we wet the clay, we step on that wheel or we step on the pedal that causes the wheel to start to spin, and we wet our hands some more, you know, and we start to shape that block of clay into a ball. Well, we start with it as a ball, and then, you know, we start to turn it into a cup. Let's say we're going to turn it into a cup. The problem is, if we are not solid in who we are, in what we're doing, the clay starts to fall. If it gets too much water, right? And in this case, let's look at water as something that dilutes, okay, your integrity, okay? So what dilutes your integrity? Self-doubt, worry, not feeling good enough, not being lovable, these things, these mindsets. So that's too much water. So it dilutes the integrity of who you are. So your structure on this, the potter's wheel falls, the clay falls, right? And we've all seen it. It just, yeah, it just sort of like crumbles down and falls, right? And you're like, oh, now it's not gonna be very good. But what happens when you put in just the right amount of water and you keep it shaped really beautifully, and then you fire it, meaning you take it off, you let it dry, and you put it in the kiln, you fire and it hardens. It creates a space inside. It's the empty cup that's useful. But the empty cup is only an empty cup because it has a bottom, and it basically has walls, like the cup walls. I don't know what I would call that, the sides of the cup, right? And it has the sides of the cup, and it has the bottom, and it has the open space at the top, the open space inside, so it can receive the whatever we put in this case, the love. So the question becomes, how do you solidify your sides? How do you solidify your shape, right? More specifically, and that shape is your identity. And so the first thing you have to do is let go of watering yourself down, which means letting go of the negative, letting go of the sadness, letting go of the disappointment, letting go of the frustration, letting go of the false belief. Well, the belief, although it's not true, letting go of the belief that there are no good men out there, because there are good men out there. So when you release these things, then you go, okay, I've let those go. Okay, so what's left? This beautiful blank canvas and authentic expression of who you are. So you let go of those things. And then the second piece, because I really feel like I only teach two things now, letting go and empowerment. And so you let go of the things that are holding you down. Look, subtle things like, If I sit right here with you right now and I say, okay, well, I know I'm a little dude in a wheelchair and the crazy curvature on my back, and I'm super skinny and I'm not as strong as I used to be. And I could look at all of those things and I could go, check, and just chink away at my identity and how I feel about myself. Or I could stop and go, well, let me let those things go. You can even hear the sound of my voice changes. Let me let those things go, because those things aren't serving me. They don't feel good. I'm watering down the walls on the potter's wheel. As I'm creating something, I'm watering down the walls, okay? And so instead, let me stop doing that, let that stuff go, and work with what I have. And then I go, oh, wow, what do I have? Now, when I look at what I have, kindness, love, generosity, willingness, drive, motivation, inspiration, the ability to listen, the ability to connect, the ability to love. Oh my God, this stuff is delicious, right? So what happens is the cup starts to take shape, right? All of a sudden there's the right amount of clay, there's the right amount of water, there's the right amount of movement on the wheel, there's the right amount of pressure and shaping. And so what you're doing is you're creating yourself anew so that you can hold that love, so you can hold that capacity. You let go of the things that are watering you down so that you can create the right shape to receive. The right shape to receive is one when you're coming from a state of personal empowerment. And that my book that I'm going to give everybody right? Gives people the chance to really explore. Oh, I like this about myself. I like this. I don't like this. I love this. Oh, that was interesting. I didn't know that about myself. And you're building yourself into this beautiful shape. And as you go, oh, this is me anew, that me anew can hold that new love. It can hold the shape. But the only way it's going to hold anything is to dump out what's already in it. In Eastern philosophy, they talk about a useful cup is a cup that's empty, because a cup that's full, you can't put anything else into it. So what if we just dump out the things that aren't serving you anymore? Whew, okay, wow, it feels nice to let that go. And then we just open up and we go, okay, so what is my structure? What is it that I have? What is it that I'm willing to give? Because when we go into wanting a relationship, why do we want that relationship? Mostly because what we're going to get from it, get. But love is about giving. And so why do we want? Because we've watered ourselves down to think that we're not good enough. We're not full. We're not worthy. We don't have enough. And so we don't have enough self-love. So when we change that and we let go of those things, then all of a sudden we've got that open space. We've got the ability to go, oh, hold on. Not only do I have a space to receive, but I only have the space to receive because I know who I am. I know what I have. I know the value I bring. I know how I want to show up in relationship. I know the love that I want to give. I know the tenderness that I have in my heart. I know the way I want to touch his face. I know the way I want to stroke his hair. I know the way I want to make love to him. I know the things I want to do with him on picnics, and where I want to go on vacation. I know these things. I know the way I'm going to show up in the relationship because this is my integrity. I know the things that I like. And when I know these things and I don't compromise those, I don't change those, I go, no, this is really who I am. This is really what I offer. This is really what I want to do. Then all of a sudden somebody goes, wow, that sounds delicious. I'd love to receive that. And you go, fantastic. And they go, and I'd love to give this back in exchange. And you go, fantastic. I'm open to receive it. It's the process of letting go first of what's watering you down, identifying your structure, who you really are, what you have to offer, and then being able to move forward. And the ability to give, if you give structure, which means this is who I am, your integrity is structure. If you give that authenticity, that integrity, then what happens is there's space automatically formed for you to be able to receive. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense?
Yeah, beautiful.
Okay.
Beautiful. It also strikes me, see if this resonates with you too, PGA, that if we're using this cup as an example, and we're using the walls of the cup and the foundation of the cup. To me, something that came to mind when you were talking about that as an analogy is the foundation is like knowing who you are, knowing your values, knowing what's important to you, what you want and need. And then the walls around the cup or the sides of the cup strike me as being like boundaries and standards. You're clear about what kind of treatment you're going to be allowing into your life. And that allows you to stay open in that way. That allows you to keep that cup open to receive.
100%. And when you commit, right? When you fire that cup, when you put it in the kiln, that you're committed. You're like, no, this is who I am. This is my integrity. This is how I show up. These are my standards. And they're we don't compromise standards. Right? We raise our standards and we don't compromise them because these are our truths, right? Mm-hmm. Now listen, when we talk about raising standards, I don't mean that we raise our standards and we say, I won't accept somebody who's not 6 feet tall. So if you're 5'8", I can't accept you. I don't mean like superficial things like that. I mean, you raise your standards in terms of intimacy. You raise your standards in terms of how you want to be treated, how you want to treat people, how you want to receive love, how you want to give love, the things that really matter, the deliciousness. And you let some of that other stuff that is superficial go, because sometimes we create these superficial images and we say, oh, well, my standards are so high. I only date men that earn $120,000 a year and are 6 feet taller or taller. Why? Because something in you is lacking, because there's a crack in that wall that's going to let some of the liquid, that love, spill out. And so you're trying to find someone else who can like basically fill that hole, okay? Instead of going, hold on, what's missing in me that these kinds of things are there? The standards that I believe you and I talk about are the ones that are important: connection, communication, intimacy, the way they connect with your friends and family, the way you talk your way through disagreements or misunderstandings. Notice I didn't say arguments because I'm not a big fan of that word. If we name it an argument, it becomes one. If we call it a misunderstanding, it's a misunderstanding. We can work through that a lot easier. How do you want to label it? Right? These are the delicious standards. These are the ways of being. And then you find somebody who speaks your language. Woo, it's delicious.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So I know, PJ, you've already made a couple of references to your free gift, but yes. I want to give you the opportunity to tell us a little more about that because it's an intriguing title. And I want to have you give a little bit of more additional information about it so people know how wonderful and juicy it is.
Well, thank you so much. I really appreciate that. So it's called 5 Ways to Date Yourself and 1 Big Reason Why You Should. Okay. And I break down the book into 5 sections, physical, emotional, spiritual, these kinds of things. And then under each one of those, so those are the 5 ways. And then under each one of those are 3 of the 5. And then under each one of those, I give you 5 individual dates, things that you go out and do on your own, where and things to do while you're there. And sometimes there's homework and follow-up. Some of them are very challenging. And some of them are just very innocent and benign and sweet and gives you just a moment to reconnect with self, you know? And so there's a spectrum of these that really, if you start to delve into this, what happens is you start to really explore things that you probably haven't explored before and think in ways that you've not thought before and discover things about your standards, discover standards and beliefs and things that are important to you. And then when you do, what you're doing is you're forming the base and the walls of that cup, right? And you're reestablishing your identity. So when you step out into the world and you're like, hey, I'm ready to actually date somebody other than myself, or in addition, I'd like to date somebody else or bring somebody along on the date, right? Or go along on one of their dates. Then what happens is you've already built the structure. There's already an open space. My body just did this. When my mind moved me into that space of building that structure of going on those dates, right? And I was like, oh, well, I know who I am. I took a breath right before I spoke and it filled this empty space in my lungs. And why did it fill that empty space? Because in my mind, I was like, oh, I've gone on these dates and I know who I am. I know what I like. And what I saw in my mind was this cup and the walls around the cup and this open empty space. And what filled it was oxygen in that moment. But what might fill yours is that love and that communication and that intimacy and that connection when you go out. So when you take the time to actually follow through, you don't have to follow through on my dates, but look at the sections and create your own dates. Because what you're doing really is you're learning more about you. And when you learn more about you, you have more to share in the relationship. Once again, it's about giving. And the more you're able to give. Now, listen, I understand. Yeah, but my last relationship, I gave and I gave and I gave and I gave. And all they did was take and take and take and take. I understand. Healthy relationships are not give and take. Healthy relationships are give and receive. And we could even argue they're share and receive. That's a profoundly different perspective than giving and taking. You want to make sure that the relationship that you're getting into because you're giving and not because you're like, oh, I need, I want. But instead you're like, oh no, I like who I am and I really love what you're giving me. This feels nice. So it's a balanced, equitable connection. Okay. Mm-hmm. So anyway, that book can be found at 5ways.pjswisdom.com. 5ways.pjswisdom.com. And it's about 109 pages, I think, give or take.
And we'll also post the link here below. So that'll make it really easy for people to just click right here beneath the video or audio and get that book. And PJ, that's really generous. And I know you put a lot of energy and effort into it because I know that you spend a lot of time really thinking about what would help people. And so I encourage everybody to take advantage of that. And I also want to just really thank you again, because as always, our conversation has been really, really fascinating and important, I believe, can help a lot of people. And I want to also give you the opportunity to leave us with the last words, some final thoughts, anything else you want to share or anything else you wish I'd asked you that I didn't. Go ahead.
Let me share this this quote that I have. Identity builds values. Values reveal your identity. So if you're trying to figure out who you are, take a moment and look at your values. And if your values are so low that you let people into your life that don't treat you well or put you down or talk down to you, let's change those values. Those are revealing your identity. So those are identifying some weak spots and some cracks in who you really are. Okay, it's always going to come back to identity. If you don't have what you want or you're not where you want to be, it's because you're not the identity that can create or would build or accept that. So go back, look at your values and go back and go, okay, this reveals my identity. Who am I? What don't I like? What do I want to be like? Oh, this is who I now am becoming. Let me become this person. And then your values will be born from that.
Beautiful. That's a beautiful note to wrap on. So PJ, I really want to thank you once again. And I really want to thank our audience for tuning in and for being the kind of person that wants to have a deep, meaningful love and life, and for joining us here today. And we hope you'll join us for more of the Man Panel. But while you're here, make sure to get PJ's gift. Click on the link below and get his book that he's so generously offered. And we'll see you soon for more. Bye-bye for now.
Bye.